First Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you today, help us to see clearly what you have to say to us in your word. Be with my words. May they be true to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A reason. I went to a production of It's a Wonderful Life yesterday. And if you know the story, George Bailey needed to see a reason for his life. He says something like, at one point, it would have been better if I had never been born. He didn't see the reason. And the whole story is to show him the reason for his life. We heard of a tragedy on Friday, a school shooting. 20 children killed in Connecticut. Many people were looking for a reason. The fact is that if you know Christ, you know the reason for both of those things. The reason for the tragedy in Connecticut was that sin has stained our world. I don't think we can take anything else from that. Sin has stained our world. We see it all around us. We saw it even of the people trying to give some explanation for what was being done. That sin has stained our world, and we will hear of those things any place the light has not shone. Sin stains our world. We look around us. Maybe the calamities aren't quite so great, but many, many have hurts. Many are broken. Many are torn. What's the reason? Sin stains our world. We know the reason for hurt. There is a reason for hurt. Sin stains our world. But we also know a reason for hope. The only reason that can be given to have hope is to know our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to earth, has humbled himself and come to earth and lived that righteous life for us. He is the reason that we can have hope, that there's not just this world falling further and further away from God, falling further and further into sin, falling further and further into the tragedies that we see all around us. There's a reason for hope. Because Christ has brought light into the world. We can have that hope. Know the reason for hope. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. He's different. He's separate. He has changed our world. People don't see that because sin is all around us still. But He's changing our world now, and He will one day bring in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells, and we won't have these things anymore. We can have a hope that that will be the that will happen, and that we will be living there because we know Jesus Christ, our Lord. In your hearts, honor Christ as Lord. But our hope doesn't just go to what's in the future. It's just not looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. It's not just looking for the future. Our hope should guide us as we deal day to day with the tragedies, with the hurts, with the difficulties that are all around us. Our hope should be that light that keeps us going and that keeps us proclaiming the wonder of God's grace to a world that needs it. In the midst of the turmoil of this world, the Christian should be set apart, should set his mind apart, should set his heart apart to know the grace of God and to bring that to a world that needs it. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Have that different perspective of the world around you that sees the tragedy but knows the hope. Have that different view of the world that can understand how God's grace can work in the midst of suffering. When you do, you'll have a reason for the hurt, but you'll also have a reason for the hope, and you'll see the reason for your life. Isaiah 8, verse 12 and 13 says, "Do not fear what they fear." You're different! Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one that brings you the hope, that helps you to see through the tragedy, helps you to see through the hurt, helps you to see through the turmoil, so that you can live your life in a way that's honoring to God. As you do that, you need to wield the sword that He has provided. Now, I watched a beautiful performance of the Nutcracker on Friday. I always wondered, my daughter, this was her favorite thing to do, or at least one of her favorites, and I think it was the favorite thing to do during the Christmas season, was watch the Nutcracker in some form or another. And I never saw the connection, probably because I never actually watched it. I saw this dancing going on, and I wasn't real interested, and so, you know, I'd always back off. And I didn't realize that it was a Christmas party and the gifts and things that were given. And so that it sort of made sense that it was Christmas time. But I think there's more to that in terms of the story. It did come out just before Christmas as well, so there's a lot about Christmas in it in terms of its history. But there is a battle, it seems, between good and evil. I think that's what's supposed to be taking place between the mice and the soldiers. Is that right, Leanna? Is that sort of good and evil? There's a battle that's going on between good and evil. And the good are supposed to take up the sword and to fight the evil. And what happens? The broken one, the Nutcracker, the broken one, leads the people to victory and takes them into a different world. After seeing it Friday, that made a lot of sense. You know, the broken one has the victory. Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for our sins. He has the victory. And He is taking us to a different world. Might not be the land of sweets, although there probably will be some there. But He's taking us to a different world. So, I got the connection, I think. I might be reading more into it than there actually is there, but I got the connection. But they took up a sword! So as we go out in the world, are we to take up the sword? What's He say here? "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. We are to take up a sword. Did I get that right? We are to take up a sword, but what is our sword? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God that we take out to the world that needs it with gentleness and respect. Our battle is fought completely differently than the battles of this world. We are to take that sword of the Spirit out into the world with gentleness and respect. It's noteworthy that the word that's translated as reason, have a reason for the hope that is in you. It's logos, it's word. Have a word for the hope that is in you. Guess what? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And it rests on the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The sword in this life, in this world, the physical sword, is given to the state. We should work in that state so that they respect the things of God, so that they respect life. I am completely opposed to abortion. You know, it just entered my mind that, you know, that tragedy in Connecticut, and people talked about the children who were being killed there. There's probably been more children killed in the last month legally than were killed in that terrible shooting. I'm not saying that's a good thing there, but the fact is that we have evil in our midst, and we need to fight against that however we can. And yet, when I see people who are anti-abortion screaming at crowds who are pro-choice, pro-abortion, it's a better way to say that, it's more fitting. When I see them screaming at them, I have to look back at this and say, be prepared. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with gentleness and respect. When I hear of an abortionist being murdered, that's murder. That's not the kind of thing that God's calling us to do. But we need to speak out. But we need to do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, when people talk against you, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Wield the sword, but wield the sword of the Word of God, and do it gently. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We want to be of those who turn away wrath and bring truth. Now someone say, fight fire with fire. That sometimes worked for the early settlers when they were having problems with grass fires, and sometimes you'll still see it used setting a backfire to wipe out the fuel for a fire that's raging. And you know, in one sense, we aren't to fight fire with fire. We don't return evil for evil. However, we do, in another sense, fight fire with fire. Romans 12, verse 15 and following. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our fire is doing good. It's what Paul is saying. It's what Peter says here, right in verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And then 16 and 17, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. As we go out into the world, there will be much tragedy, there will be much hurt. There will be people who come and revile us. There will be people who slander us because of the truth. What do we return to them? We return the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We return to them good. We give them something that they're not expecting. We give them good. As we overcome evil with good, some will seek to do harm, but others will see the truth. So be ready. Boy Scouts have a motto. Stephen probably knows that motto, right? Be prepared. Be prepared. Be ready. Work out. The word that's used here in verse 15, always being prepared to make a defense. It's the idea of practicing. It's the idea of working out beforehand. Now, Lydia, was that the first time? Where's Lydia? Let's see. There you are. Was that the first time that you performed your lines when you did them in the show? No, you probably practiced a little and worked out the different things that were there. Fiona, Rebecca, and Leanna, was that the first time you danced on stage when you performed on Friday? No, you practiced. But how many Christians go out into the world without practicing first? Go out in the world without being prepared beforehand? We need to be prepared. I was going to bring another one in. Nate, where's Nate? Was that the first time you shot a basketball when you went out into a game? Okay, now I've got them covered. The sports and the... Anyway, the fact is we need to be prepared as we go out into our world. So when are you ready? When are you prepared to go out and do things? To bring healing to a world that needs it? To heal the hurts that are out there? When are you prepared? Well, I'd say you are prepared as soon as you know that men sin, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and that He is now Lord. If you know those three things, you are prepared to go out and heal the wounds that are out there in the world. We often always have an answer, though. Well, you might have to go back and look at things. But you might have to study more. As you grow more and more in Christ, as you grow more and more in the things that He wants of you, the things that He's calling you to do, then you get involved in God's Word. You take that sword of the Spirit and you apply it to your heart, and then you're ready to go out and heal more wounds. Don't keep back because you're not ready yet. Be prepared. You're prepared now if you know Jesus Christ. Go out in the world and share His grace. and then become more prepared for the next thing. Because guess what? He'll probably give you harder and harder and harder things as you go through your life, but you'll be prepared for them. I picked up a whole bunch of little pamphlets. They all start with help. This one, I'm confused about dating. This one, my toddler rules the house. There's things about cancer, about pornography, about all sorts of different issues that are out there in the world that are hurts in our world. And what I liked about these things is they brought you clearly to the grace of God. Everything depends on that. The hope that we have depends upon what God has done in His grace in sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and He continues to heal the world with His grace. If we take that light that He has given out into that world, He is the answer. He provides the answer to life's questions, to life's hurts, to life's tragedies. He provides the answers that we need. And we need to be prepared with those answers as we go out into a world that is hurting, that is torn, that is ripped apart by sin. It's not just our words, though. It's word and deed. Peter goes on. I'll start with, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience. Can you go out into the world and bring God's grace to people if you're living a life that's a lie? Your life needs to mirror what Christ has done in you. That union with Christ that you have. Make sure that your life shows Christ. It's not just your words, but it's your whole life that is showing Him. Having a good conscience. So that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Calvin said about this good conscience, for we see many are sufficiently ready with their tongue. They know the words. He didn't say that. They're sufficiently ready with their tongue and prate much, very freely, and yet with no fruit, because the life does not correspond. Make sure that your life corresponds with your words. But then make sure that your words are ready. Be prepared to go out and bring healing to the world that's around you with the light of Christ, with the words of Christ, with the wonder of His grace. I'm sorry, Lydia, but I don't think an angel gets its wings when a bell rings. But there is rejoicing in heaven when a lost sheep is found. When someone who has no hope gets hope. There's rejoicing in heaven when that happens. I hope that you have on your heart to honor Christ with your life. To have ready, to be prepared with the reason for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Let's pray. Lord, as we look to You, enable us to see Your truth, to have that truth transform our lives, that we might be united with You that we might share with you the light that needs to come into this dark world. Help us to face the hurts, the tragedies, the torn edges of this life with your grace, and bring that to those who are around us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.